love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Welcome to English with Fraser, the weekly podcast for intermediate English learners who are serious about improving. Whether you're brushing up or building your confidence, join me each week for real conversations, smart tips, and the touch of that British charm. Let's level up your English one episode at a time. Hello, everybody, dear listeners, ladies, gentlemen, and other bulldogs. Welcome back to English with Fraser, the podcast where we learn English, explore British culture, and occasionally end up in salt and vinegar. Salt and vinegar, you may say. A strange reference, Fraser, to kick the podcast off. Well, that's because today's episode is all about a British classic, a national treasure, a meal so iconic, it's basically part of the Union Jack. That is fish and chips, of course. Where did it come from? Why do we love it so much? And what makes a proper chippy dinner? We'll answer it all. And of course, we've got Winston here, ready to steal a chip and give us his salty commentary. But hold on, Winston, before you come in here, I just want to say thanks to everyone who has been listening on this journey with us thus far. And actually, we've just arrived to season two. So season one, we had 40 episodes. Hopefully you can see the podcast slightly improve over time from episode 1 to 40. But now, yes, we're on season 2. So season 2 will be episode 41 to 80. So, woohoo, we've made it. Season 2.
Fish and chips, eh? Food of the people. And if anyone drops a chip, I will be there.
We'll be there.
Do you care, though?
We will be there.
PSG.
We will be there.
Part 1. The history of fish and chips. Let's take it back. Way back. Fish and chips, as we know them, actually came together in the mid-1800s. Fried fish came to Britain via Jewish immigrants from Portugal and Spain. Chips, that's what the Americans call French fries, were already popular in the north of England. And at some point, someone thought, what if we put the two together? Well, that was a stroke of genius. And just like that, magic was born. The first official fish and chip shop opened in London town, 1860, and soon chippies were everywhere. Now, us Brits, we like to call a fish and chip shop a chippy, so that just means it's a fish and chip shop, although in some parts of the country, for example Liverpool, a chippy also sells Chinese food. Long story, we'll have to do a separate episode on the amazing city of Liverpool and their own regional accent and words, but a chippy is a fish and chip shop.
By the time Queen Victoria had her jubilee, half the country was queuing for haddock. That's what I call progress.
Part 2. What makes it so British? Now, why has fish and chips become such a deep part of British culture? And why, when we ask anybody who doesn't come from the UK, they think fish and chips. It's one of the first things foreigners think about England? Fish and chips. I would guess that's in your top five things if I asked you, what do you think of Britain? I reckon fish and chips would be in your top five words or phrases. Well, a few reasons. It's affordable. It's simple. It's comfort food. And it tastes absolutely incredible when eaten at the seaside. With a wooden fork, the cold breeze in your face. And me personally, I like lots of salt and vinegar all over the chips, all over the battered fish. Absolutely delightful. During World War II, it was never rationed. We mentioned rationing in a previous episode. So the government knew the people needed something warm and familiar. So even during the dark times of the war, potatoes were easily accessible. Potatoes were cheap and fish was accessible. As being an island, we can always fish for more. So even in the darkest times, the Brits could always rely on a bag of chips. There's also an expression in English which is cheap as chips. That just means something is cheap. For example, how much did you pay for that mug? Actually, it was only £1. Well, cheap as chips. Said exactly like that. It just means something's really cheap. And it has a good ring to it. Cheap as chips. Sounds good when you say it.
Ahem. Ladies and gentlemen, learners and listeners, today we do not simply speak of a meal. We speak of a national institution, of a dish so beloved, so timeless, it may as well have its own seat in Parliament. Fish and chips, my friends, is more than battered cod and golden potatoes. It is Britain on a plate. It fed the workers who built our railways, the soldiers who fought for our freedom, and the grandmothers who taught us never to skimp on salt. It's the meal we turn to when the weather turns grey, which, let's face it, is most of the time. It is humble yet mighty, wrapped in paper, soaked in vinegar, and eaten with pride, often next to a very aggressive seagull. So raise your wooden fork, dear listeners. Let the steam rise from your chips like the fog over the Thames. And never forget this simple truth. Empires may fall, monarchs may come and go, but fish and chips endures, old boy. It endures. God save the Queen and the Haddock.
Part 3. How Brits eat fish and chips. So now we arrive to the controversial bit. The toppings. Of course, you've got your chips. You've got your fish. That'll be battered fish. Usually cod. Haddock. Used to always be cod. But recently appears cod is a bit harder to come by and a bit more expensive. So often battered haddock is the default choice or the default fish you will be given. Now, how do people enjoy their fish and chips? Enjoy their chippy dinner? Salt and vinegar. This is number one. This is the classic, the quintessentially British choice. That's just your usual salt. You can use sea salt. And then vinegar, malt vinegar, such a good combination. My personal favourite. Mushy peas. Now, mushy peas are your regular garden peas, the small green rounded peas, and then mushed together, so mushed into like a paste, and then add a little bit of salt, and it's sort of like a, how would you describe it? Sort of like a pea gravy, like a pea, just a mash, like mashed potatoes, but made from peas. Very popular. Then you've got curry sauce. So imagine a curry sauce from a Chinese. So it's just lots of spices, like an Indian curry. Very bright yellow, sort of golden colour, and then you pour that on the fish and the chips. If you're up north in the UK, you might like some gravy on your fish and chips. This is just classic meat gravy, gravy that we often have on a roast dinner. Add that on the fish and chips, also very nice. And then for me, I'll always add some ketchup, just because I love a bit of ketchup with my chips. Now, you don't necessarily have to have fish and chips. You can also get a fish cake, which is fish and mashed potato molded into like a burger patty shape. That's a fish cake. You can also get a jumbo sausage, quite popular. And you can even batter that sausage, so a battered sausage. Now, a batter is where they cover it in batter and then deep fry it. So as you see, the fish is obviously deep fried. It's golden brown. That's because it's been covered in batter and then deep fried. They can also do that to the sausage, and that's very popular. Of course, we also always wrap it in paper. So you have the fish and chips, and then it's not in a plastic bag, it's wrapped in paper. It used to be wrapped in newspapers back in the day, but no longer. Perhaps that's not as safe. And then we take it to a bench if we're at the seaside, eat it under the open sky, often surrounded by seagulls, lovely brisk breeze, that sea breeze coming from the sea, seagulls sort of chatting, trying to steal chips from you, people walking around, not usually much sunshine, can be if you're in the summer, but often fish and chips, you can eat it sort of autumn, springtime, doesn't necessarily have to be hot, just wear a coat.
I once lost a chip to a seagull in Blackpool. The betrayal still stings. Here's the thing, dear listeners. Fish and chips is more than just food. It's comfort. It's memory. It's Britain on a plate. You can keep your fine dining. Give me a bench by the sea, a bit of haddock, and a chip with too much vinegar any day. It's a working-class hero, a Friday night ritual, and proof that the simplest things are often the best.
So, there you have it. Fish and chips. A humble, glorious, and salty miracle. If you've never had it, make it your mission to one day have a real British fish and chips. And even better, and more bonus points if you are at the seaside on the seashore. Now, don't always also forget to add some tartar sauce. This goes so well with the fish. It's almost like mayonnaise mixed with gherkins, a sort of gherkin-y. A little bit of, do you know that Big Mac burger sauce? Almost a little bit of that Big Mac burger sauce taste to it. Tangy, sweet, goes amazingly well with fish. That's tartar sauce. And if they offer you a slice of lemon, also take that and squeeze the lemon onto the fish. Amazing stuff. Truly is. Had fish and chips the other day, actually. I think a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. Not had it in a very long time. Perhaps even a year was the last time I had it. But it was so good. Just as I remembered it. Unbelievable.
That's a wrap on today's episode of English with Fraser. I hope you enjoyed and learned something new. Remember, mastering English is all about immersing yourself in natural content. After all, we're making English effortless, one episode at a time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep going. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and most importantly, share with a friend, family member, or colleague who also may be learning English. I'll be back soon with more natural English content. Until then, keep practicing, listening, and enjoy the journey. Bye for now.